believe, not forsaken friend in tea. Lay it down.
Lay it down.
Lay it down.
Oh.
And by now you should be feeling a whole lot better. Your day should be looking a whole lot brighter. You only have two choices. You can let your fears overtake you, or you can say what my man Job said: yet will I trust him. Come on, let's take it home.
All your problems,
lay it down.
Your pain,
lay it down.
Situations,
lay it down.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1, transmitting from 1,000 feet above Dry Prong, Louisiana, to all of Senla.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused. And let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. But if you have your Bible, you're looking at the third chapter of Daniel. You're looking at verse 14. Boy, I tell you, we had a good service and song and ministry of worship. Amen. Thank God for them. Verse 14, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. And the scripture says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, succubus, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hadst set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his armor to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Last verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Amen. May God bless those hearers and those doers of his word. Amen. Amen. A lot of reading, but for the story's sake, we needed it. Amen. And I want to, just for a few minutes, give you this thought. And I hope that someone is receiving these messages that God has given to us. Amen. Because it's important that you realize that God is talking to you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, God is talking to you. Amen. And from those verses of scripture, this thought came to mind and in heart. A mature response to a heated situation. Amen. Amen. A mature response to a heated situation. Amen. And you know I got a subtopic. Amen. A fireproof anointing. Amen. Are you fireproof? Fireproof anointing. Amen. You'll see at the end of the message. Amen. So stay tuned. As God has been dealing with us and talking to us about being able to respond maturely to situations that come into our life, there are several examples that we find in the Bible that we've discussed some of them that we can relate to in our own personal lives. And I believe that the word of God is applicable to every one of us in every case, and no matter where you are, where you come from, what you're doing, and what you're into right now, there is a word that will fit your life. And it should be preached to the point to where you can apply it to your life. I don't believe in getting up and just rhyming and talking and using cliches and what they say and I heard, but I'd like to talk from the text so that you could see what God is saying. Amen. And so God has been telling us that we need to have mature responses. Just on the other day, I was talking with two of the brothers, or three of the brothers, or four, maybe four of the brothers that goes to this church that work where I do. Amen. We were in the hallway talking, and I think we've been doing that too often, and we might be holding up progress because they start looking at us, but we had a somewhat of a discussion on the word of God, and it's good to be able to discuss the word at work. Amen? And we were talking about these mature responses, and we got to talking about how some people have a reaction. Everybody have a reaction. Even a dog will react. You know why? Because a dog, when he sees you and he don't know you, he barks at you. That's his natural reaction. Amen, amen. And even if he doesn't scare you, finally he realizes that he needs to get your smell so he'll know who you are, and he sniffs you. Why? Because that's his natural reaction. We as human beings to situations, we have a natural reaction. Amen. It's natural for us to react when something happens toward us or to us or to someone we love. We automatically say, this is our reaction, and we jump to do whatever it is we want to do. Come on and say amen. But when you have a response, now, everything doesn't really deserve a certain reaction, but everything really do deserves a good response. It is how you respond that determines your character. It's how you respond determines what people say about you. Amen. That's why when Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, he was saying that who do they say that I am because I've reacted certain ways to their rejection of me. Come on and say amen here. Amen. Well, when we start to look at reaction and look at the responses, we start talking about, as we were talking in the hallway, you brought up the point that how anybody can react, because if a house caught fire, then the people who react, they automatically try to put water on the fire to put it out. And they don't know. They just put it out, pour it on top, and keep pouring it on top. But when a person has been trained to respond, they don't just pour water on. They come in and they go to the source and they extinguish the fire. Come on and say, man, I'm going somewhere. Well, just keep with me. And so what I said was that sometimes, you know, people will react, but when the responders come on the scene, those who react back up. Amen. When you become a responder, when the first responders show up, then the people who don't know what they're doing back up and let them take over, because they're not going to panic in a situation because they have been trained, and not only trained, but they've been refreshed. That's why we keep hearing this over and over. They've been trained on what to do and refreshed on what to do, and they've went through some basic training on whatever it is that they have to encounter in case of an emergency. Amen. And they have become responders. And so what I'm saying and what I've been talking about in these last several weeks is trying to teach us and trying to get us, not just you, but get me to a place where I'm a responder rather than a reactor. Oh, hallelujah. Because if I know how to respond, I know what kind of hazards are there. So I know that if I respond correctly, I can mitigate and I can stop whatever it is that could harm me and everybody around me. But if I react, I could become a victim. Come on and say, man. And the people who's trying to help me can become victims also. So I need to know how to respond so that I won't be victimized. Lord, help me in here today. And so here we find a mature response to a heated situation. Sometimes we have situations that we get heated into, and we find ourselves in situations that seem to be too much, too hot for us to handle. The Bible tells us that he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. These trials, they come to what? Try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But we need to know that these things are only to what? Try us, to test us, to prove who we are. Amen. Oh, yeah. You know that you can find the measure of a man not by how he reacts when things are going well. The character of a man is when you see his character when things are not going so well. You see who he really is. Oh, come on and say amen in here. And so when we look at the book of Daniel, when we study Daniel, Daniel's name means God is judge. God is my judge. And so Daniel was one of these four Hebrew boys that this book talks about, that when they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, when he had invaded Israel and taken them captive, Nebuchadnezzar took the best of the best. He took the young men, the young children who had no blemishes, that could learn well, they had to be strong. He took them and he brought them to, separated them from their family and brought them to his palace, into a place where he trained them, because he was going to put them in government. One thing that the Babylonians did that we borrow in America is that we take people from all nationalities, train them, and allow them a place in government. But when we look at these children, they had the one Shadrach, his name was Hananiah. which means God has favored, or basically what means Jehovah or Yahweh is gracious. Then Mishael, his name meant who is what God is or who is like God. Then there was Azariah. Azariah name, it means the one who God's keep or the one who God has helped. Come on and say amen. Hananiah name was changed to Shadrach, which meant the command of the moon god. Mishael names Meshach was changed to Meshach, which means who is this or who is like the moon god. Amen. Then Azariah name was changed to Abednego, meaning the servant of Nebo. So what happened there? He changed their names. When you have a name change, you have a character change. Oh, come on. Why? We have nicknames based on what we are, what we did, or who we was. Come on and say amen. And so when you have a name change, you have a character change. And so what they were intending to do to these guys, they were intending to change their character and who they were and what they were to God and what God was to them. Because God being gracious to Shadrach or Hananiah, or Mishael being one who had a stature that looked like God, or he was made up of what God was, they changed his name. Trying to help somebody. We have to watch what changes us. Only God. Let God change you. Don't let situations change you. Don't let circumstances change you. Don't let what people say change you. Don't let things that you go through change you. Come on. But let God change you. Amen. I've already been up here too long. But when we get to the scripture and the text, we find out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had been separated from their family. They had been changed. Their name had been changed, but God had a word down in them that would not allow them to be changed by their condition. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And then in verse 14, it said, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't worship my God nor the golden image that I've set up? And so what he was saying that I've been hearing this. These people are telling me that you don't worship the gods that I worship. They're telling me that you won't bow to the image that I have. Now, we got to know that everybody that say that they worship God don't really worship the same God that you and I worship. They can be on TV with their Emmy in their hand and say, thank God. But doesn't mean that they're talking about your God. Oh, come on and say amen. They can sing about God. But that doesn't mean that they're talking about the God that you serve. Oh, come on and say amen. He said that you don't serve my God, nor do you worship the golden image which I've set up. And then he tells them, he said, now if you're ready, and whatever time you hear the sound of the music, you need to get busy and start bowing. Look at what they were facing. The first point I want you to see is look at what they were facing. They were facing death. They were facing destruction. They were facing disintegration, because once they got into that inferno, once they got into that furnace, they were going to turn to ash. But they knew God. Come on and say amen. Sometimes when we are facing a heated situation, we don't realize that if we just hold our peace, that God will bring us through it. Oh, yeah, he said in verse number 16, he says, well, verse 15, he says, part B of that, he said, but if you worship not, you'll be cast the same hour. The minute that I find out that you're not doing what I want you to do, I'm going to take you and put you in the fiery furnace. And who is that God that'll deliver you from my hand? Who is that God that'll deliver you? In other words, there ain't nobody that can deliver you. No, not even God. I believe it was The Rock that said it on one of the movies. Not even God can save you from me. That's what he was telling them. Not even God, whatever God that you serve, can save you from what I'm about to do to you. Come on and say amen. Sometimes you get in a heated situation, you get in a circumstance, and it seems like can't nobody help you. It seems like you don't know what you're going to do in your situation. You seem hopeless and you seem helpless, but thank God that I lift my head unto the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help come from the Lord. Now we see what they were facing. They were facing death. Many of us would have said, you know what, play the music now. I'll bow to it. Many of us would have said, not only will I bow to it, but I'll dance to it. Oh, come on and say amen. Many of us facing death would have changed what we said. We'd have changed our stand and say, you know what, well, I'm just playing, King. I mean, we would have changed it. We would have done something different. We wouldn't have stood up against the king who had the power to destroy us. We would have turned around and said, you know what? Shadrach, I mean, it was your idea. He was the one that said we need to not do it. But, and he told me that if I didn't do it, he was going to whoop me. So I had to do it. But now since you said that I need to bow, I'm bowing now. Play the music, somebody. I'm bowing. Hit play on the MP3. And I'm bowing. That's what we would have done. But in the face of destruction, in the face of what we call sudden death, they decided they were going to stand. Will you stand? Oh, hallelujah. We look at what they were facing, but now let's look at their faith. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, let me tell you something. They wasn't really in disrespect, but they were saying, look, I'm telling you with my faith. I'm talking with faith. And how many know that when you got faith, you got boldness? Oh, hallelujah. They were talking with their faith. They were talking courageously. They said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We ain't got to think about this. This is not something that we need to debate on. This is not something that we need to take a counsel on. This is not something that we need to call a lawyer for, because we already know what we're going to do. Ain't nothing like knowing what you're going to do, no matter how bad, no matter what it looks like, no matter how hard it looks like it's going to be. I got my mind made up, my heart fixed, that I'm going to do what I know to do, because I got confidence and I'm going to be courageous, and my faith, come on and say amen, is going to bring me through whatever it is that I'm going through. Oh, yeah, how to respond to a heated situation. Here it is. They got, not only were they in a heated, about to face a heated fiery furnace, but they're in a heated confrontation with the king. It's no way that you can confront a king, no way that you can disobey a king and still live to tell about it. Oh, come on and say amen here. When they said, King, we're not careful, we ain't got to think about this. But in verse 17, he said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Here it is. They were confident. Not only were they courageous, but they were confident. Amen. We need to be confident in what we know about God. Oh, yeah. He said, cast not off your confidence. We need to know that it's our confidence that we have to be persuaded about some things. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Romans 8. He said, for I am what? Persuaded. In other words, I got confidence that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Come on. He said, shall peril, shall the sword? Oh, come on and say amen. He said, shall famine, shall anything that come against me be able to separate me? He said, I'm persuaded that neither height nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I believe that once we stand on the love of God, once we realize how much God loves us, come on, once we realize that we have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be courageous, and not just courageous, but learn how to have some confidence that if I believe, God can do it. Amen. He said, ask what you will in my name, and I'll do what you request of me to do. Y'all, come on and say amen. He said that you can have what you say. If you got confidence and faith enough to say it, come on. If you got enough, strength to stand up and say, I believe that I'm steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If I can just stay right here, unmovable, and believe that God will do just what he said. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I have to stand on what God said. Boy, y'all trying to make me preach hard in here. I have to stand on what God said. They said, look at here, King. The God that we serve, that he's able. That's enough. You need to know that God is able. He's able. They used to sing this song. He's able to give you joy. He's able to give you peace. He's able to bring you from suffering. He's able, if you die, to resurrect you. He's able.
or the scriptures say he's able to keep you from falling. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, he can do exceeding and abundantly and above all we can ask or think according to the power that work in us. What's the power? The power is faith in God. The power, oh come on and say amen. When we start talking about faith, looking at faith, he said faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Look, I can't see myself going in there and surviving, but guess what? I know that I'm hoping for survival. I'm hoping that I come through it. And so because of my faith, it's going to bring me through whatever God let me get to. Oh, if God can bring you to it, baby, he can bring you through it. Yes. I'm going through. I remember the old song that used to say, I'm going through. No matter what others may do, the world behind me, heaven in view, praise the Lord. Do I have a witness in here? That no matter what come, I got faith that I'm going to make it through. Help me preach it. They were not cautious, but they were courageous, and they were confident that God would do what he said. And then in verse 18, he said, but if not, be it known unto you, king, that we will not serve your God, nor worship the image that you set up. They said, look, we want you to know something, that God is able and he will deliver. But even if there's a chance he don't, even if there's a chance this is my destiny, I'm going to settle with my destiny being in God rather than just take a day and decide to turn my back on God. David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Y'all don't hear me in here this morning. I would rather be in the presence of God sick than to be well. Come on and say amen. Hanging out with the enemy. Because I know if a God looks at me and see my sickness, he'll realize that I need to get well and he'll heal me. Oh yeah, I'd rather be down and sorrowful and come before God than to be happy and drinking wine and celebrating in the tents of the wicked. That's what David said. With my faults and my frailties and with my failures, I'd rather be around God because God will deliver, God will help, God will bring me out, God will bring me through, God will bless me. Oh yes. That's what they were telling. They said, we will not do what you want us to do because you want us to do it. We need to learn how to say no sometime. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we don't need to just say no to drugs. We need to say no to a bunch of things. Yeah. Say no to people. Say no to gossip. Say no to lies before you spread them. Come on and say amen. Oh, hallelujah anyhow. But we look at their, first of all, what they were facing. Then we look at their faith, and it ought to encourage us to be courageous. Amen. But then look at verse 19. And when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. Amen. Look at this. He says that Nebuchadnezzar, because of how they answered him, he got mad. Look at his fury. We looked at what they were facing, and he was compromising with them. He was trying to give them a deal, give them a plea bargain to get out of jail, to get out of the situation, to become free from their capital punishment. Amen? So then he says, now, look at what they're facing, look at their faith, and look at Nebuchadnezzar's fury. He was so angry with them, the Bible said that his visage changed. You know what really happened? He was letting them know he was so mad with them because he could have killed them in Israel. He could have killed them in their homeland, but he saved them. And not only that, you've been eating my food, Joker. I gave you a bed. I gave you food. I gave you something to drink. And I didn't just give you anything. I gave you what I eat. I gave you the best. You ate from my table. Not only that, but I gave you a position in my government. I made you what you are, and you're going to tell me that you're not going to do what I want you to do? Come on and say amen here. Now you see why he got so mad? Now you see why he got so angry? And his fury was against them, and the way he saw them different.